Good morning, guys. 2 weeks ago, Scott voxed me and said, "Hey, Tab, since we're doing this prayer thing, would you be interested in speaking?" And as soon as I heard his vox, something within my spirit just leapt, right? And I'm just like, "Okay, yes, I'm in." And then as we were going into today, earlier this week, Scott was really feeling that we needed to talk about listening prayer. And so I began to seek the Lord about what to share today and what he wanted to say. The Lord knows I was ministering to a family out in Vaughan, and I was on my way back, and I'm like, "Lord, I got to write something for this bulletin. What do you want to say? And I heard, "Come, let us reason together." And I'm like, "I know that's in scripture, but I don't know where, Lord. I'm going to find it when I get home." So I went and looked it up, and I saw Isaiah. And so this is now the process of the journey of listening that I'm going to walk with you in this morning about what I heard. Come, let us reason together. So, Father God, I just pray right now that all the things that you have shown me, you would pull together, Lord Jesus, and that I would accurately articulate what's on your heart for us, your people, this morning. And I pray that we would all have the courage to attentively listen, to allow your word to scan us, spirit, soul, and body, and for us to respond to your invitation this morning. I pray that in the mighty name of your precious Son who gave so much for us, Jesus Christ, amen. All right, I'm going to try and do this quickly because I really feel like God has something for us at the end, so I don't want to talk a lot. But if you have a question, please, like, if I'm not making sense because I'm going to go through it quickly and I'm quite detailed, I'm going to try not to be detailed, let's have a conversation, okay? All right. So that scripture that I heard was in Isaiah 1, verse 18, and it reads this: "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." As I pondered that, I really felt like God was trying to say, "Hey guys, I want to talk to you. I want to have a conversation." And what I noticed is that God is a relational God. And this is the thing he wants to remind us of. Because as we go into prayer and as we go into fasting, prayer, I know for some people, is quite daunting. I teach children, I teach youth, and if I say, "Who wants to pray?" it's crickets. And I assume that if it's that way for children and youth, that it is that way for adults. And oftentimes, I know myself, when I'm in an elders meeting, I'm getting downloads, but I'm not always articulating what I'm getting. Sometimes there's crickets. And I felt like God is challenging me as much as he's got this message for you guys. It's also for me because I'm a kid of this house. And so I asked him, you're saying this to me. Is this for me personally? Is this for us? And I felt like he said both. I am a relational God. And he took me to Genesis, the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, 26, which you all know is my favorite book. And he says, "Let us create man in our image, in our likeness." This "us" part is relational. It's communal. And in that, he takes this relational part of himself, and over all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, he's starting a conversation with people and inviting them into a relationship, be it Abraham, be it the people of Israel. Go to the New Testament, and Jesus is doing the same thing when he says in John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Why? So that no one will perish, so everybody can be in this relationship. So number one, first thing, God is a relational God. And from the lens of God being a relational God, when you look at prayer, prayer is not meant to be a monologue like this is right now. It's meant to be a dialogue. So when we look at prayer, and it can be so daunting sometimes, I know, we want to get it right. In the dialogue, God is usually the one who initiates. Did you know that? He initiates the conversation. Think about it. Did Abraham call out for God, or did God call Abraham? Did Peter call out to Jesus, or did Jesus call out for Peter? And it doesn't matter what story you look at, with all of the people, God is the one who's initiating a conversation. So from the very beginning of Genesis, God's voice has been present. Okay, this is going to represent God's voice, this lovely fan that's on. It's probably going to throw my papers. Yep. Anyways, it represents God's voice. It represents the fact that he is talking. It represents that he is it also represents his presence, because along with a voice is the presence of the person. So this represents, his fan represents God. And he is always on. He is always on and always wanting to engage. Always. The only problem is, a lot of the time what hinders us from stepping into prayer is this idea that he's not going to respond. That he doesn't really care. And so we have to figure out what is leading us into this place to believe that God is actually off towards us. And this is what I feel like the Lord is saying. One of the things that actually contributes to hearing, which God says, those who have ears, let them hear. That word hear actually in the Hebrew means shema, which actually means that not only are you able to hear something, but you're able to understand it and you're able to step into it and execute it. And so that word obedience actually is the same word as hear. And so obedience means you've heard it, you have understood it, you've stepped into it, and now you're executing it, okay? So God says that our ability to hear is connected to the condition of our hearts. Our hearts, if they are hardened, hinder us from hearing. So perhaps we have disappointments or other stuff like that that step in the way, where we have petitioned God before in the past for something or had an expectation of something and it didn't come out the way we expected, and then we get disappointed or disillusioned, and as a result, we come to the conclusion that God is off. We know Scripture says that he loves us, and so we function in a distant relationship with a father that is absent. We know we have a father. We know he created us for a purpose, but he is absent to us. And we begin to function in this reality where now we are trying to figure out what's the next step. And we begin to strive for connection. So as the Lord was showing me this, he brought me to Psalm chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them if you have them on your phone. Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to read it out loud. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I'm going to stop there. Blessed is the man who does not walk into counsel. I'm going to use an analogy of a television, okay? Because we all understand the television, or even our gidgy gadgets as we're streaming online, okay? Walking looks like you turn on the television, you start flicking through the channels. Or walking looks like you're surfing through your stuff, okay? Through the online, be it YouTube or whatever, you start surfing. So this is walking. Clicking, 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 or surfing. Then it says, nor the man who stands. Okay, now standing looks like you've come to one channel and all of a sudden something's caught your eye. You're there for like 30 seconds, but you got your finger on the button just in case you want to switch it. Okay? So standing, flipping through stuff, standing now for a second to gauge what's going on. The next part says sits, nor sits. So sitting looks like when you found the program you're going to watch and you camp out there. You've been streaming online, and now you've found whatever it is that you were looking for, and you sit and you feast on it. He goes on to say in, verse 2, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditation. That word meditation makes me think of every single time God was saying, remember what I've done, write it on your forehead, write it on your doorpost, talk about it all the time. Talk about it when you're eating, talk about it when you're working, talk about it all the time. Meditate on what I say about you to you all the time. And if we meditate on the things that God has said to us all the time, it will hinder us from walking into places or standing into places or camping out in places that God never intended us to be in. Because the journey, the way of the world in its walking, in its standing, and in its sitting is contrary to the heart and the promises of God. It goes on to say in verse 3, the man who meditates on the things that God has said, and this is a key to prayer, okay? The man who meditates on the things that God has said will be like a tree that is planted by rivers of water. Water can mean life if that water is clean and healthy, right? So this tree is planted by water, and then it's going to bring forth fruit in its season. And its leaf will not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. Four promises to the one who chooses to meditate on the things that God has said to them, rather than walking in the path or the way of the world. Now, because God initiates prayer with us or initiates conversation, it makes me think of Abraham. When God says, after Abraham goes into the battle and he says, and he wins against all those kings and brings back Lot, God says to him, hey, Abraham, fear not, for I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward, which I always think is kind of bizarre. You're like, wouldn't you tell him that before you go into battle? Nope, he's just come out of battle and he's won. Fear not. And Abraham says, God, what are you going to do for me? You know, this one who is my servant is going to be the heir to my house. He's the heir to my house. And Father God calls Abraham out of the tent. Come on outside. I want you to look up. Count these stars if you can. And then the scripture says that God says, your descendants are going to be as numerous as this. And then it says that he believed God. He believed God. Has God ever said something to you that you believed, but then the circumstances of your life cause you to forget? Because you've been walking down other paths or standing in places you shouldn't be standing, or camping in ideas and mindsets that are contrary to the promises that God gave you. And so when we enter prayer, we are to enter prayer with the very promises that God gave us. And so that's how we start. Hey, Papa, remember that time that you said to me, don't worry, this is going to be a fantastic production? I just want to remind you of that word that you gave me that I believed. And that's how the conversation starts, because when God says one word, he wants to continue the sentence. He's got more to say. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. But he wants to know you've listened, you have heard, and you are going to stand in the promises. You are going to walk in those things and camp out in his promises. Now I'm going to flip to Psalm chapter 2. Because this is a promise for all of us. In Psalm chapter 2, it starts off with, you know, David recognizing that the nations are raging and it's like, why are the nations raging? And then you go into the one who sits in the heavens, which we know is Father God, and he looks at the nations raging, you know, their pathways that people are walking on, where people are standing and where people are sitting, and he kind of laughs. He just laughs. And then he begins to, you know, do some other things there. There's four things. You can go look them up. But I want to go into verse 7. From verse 7 to verse 9. Because in verse 7, we see this is Jesus speaking. I will declare the decree of the Lord. In the midst of things raging, in the midst of things looking chaotic, in the midst of believing that the fan or the Spirit of God and all his attention and his words are turned off towards you, in the midst of what looks like the truth, he says this, I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You will break them with a scepter of iron. You will dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. And we know, if you've read your Bible, we know that when Jesus was baptized, God said to him, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, right? And we know God has promised him the nations. If you read Gospels, you see God has promised him the nations and said from the very beginning that he would have an authority that would never end. And then God does this. He says to us, for God so loved the world that he turned on his love. He turned on his words. He turned on his presence towards us. And if we repent, he will, and we will know the difference. And repentance is not about all the sins. Yes, we pray about sins. We repent for our sins, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's repentance of fear of the way we think of ourselves, because that's what holds us back from entering into prayer. That's what hinders us in the conversation. Some of you believe that you are on a long-distance relationship with God, and you're waiting for him to call you, but he has already spoken to you. He says, from the moment you said yes to my son, I see him in you. You are my daughter. You are my son. In you, I am well pleased because he is in you. And oh, by the way, you are in us and we are in you. There's no separation. So why do we behave like there is? We need to change our mindsets and stop living in the lies that the world is telling us about who we are and how we are. Stop walking in it. Stop standing in it. And don't camp out in it. When we look at the prodigal son, the father is waiting and he is looking, constantly looking for us to reciprocate that relationship. Okay? And so when he sees us coming, and repentance means basically just return. So see you later. I'm going home. Return to the Lord. So, when we return, he says to us, come now, let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, though your mindsets be dead, though your belief system is dead, I'm going to renew it. I'm going to make it white like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. Prayer is God's children hearing the voice of the Father and then telling him what they've heard. This is also the way of intercession, because when we hear the voice of the Father, we hear it meaning we've heard it, we receive it, we're going to step into it and apply it to our lives when we have heard the voice of the Father. The heart of the Father is so drawn. And then when we say, Daddy, I heard what you said about me. You've declared that I am the daughter of your heart. And I'm going to choose to believe it. So here I am, Papa, the daughter of your heart. Help me reflect that. Guess what? Father goes, I kiss you right now. Oh my gosh, you believe me. And this is the beginning of prayer. So Scott wanted us to pray publicly. And I'm like, you're only going to get 3 or 4 people who are comfortable doing that, doing it out loud. And everybody else is going to sit there silent. And, you know, it's going to be awkward. And I don't think it's about us praying out loud as much as I feel like God's come, let us reason together is about you and him. So I'm going to have Ava play a song in a couple minutes, in a couple seconds, and we're going to transition to listening. And by listening, it doesn't mean you're going to actually hear the audible voice of God. A memory can come up of something the Lord has said to you. You could see a picture. You know, you can hear the still small voice. You might get a scripture pop through your head. This is all God talking to you. But he wants to have a conversation, and he wants you to know that his attention, his words, they're always on. So step out of the lies and into the fan of his love. All right? So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and focus on your relationship with the Lord, not focus on finding answers for Vineyard Canada. I mean, that will come. You know, God will start a conversation with you, but he wants to connect to your heart first. All right? Papa wants to have a conversation with you where he wants to remove the things that are contrary, that are hindering all of his love from reaching the very depths of who you are. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to open up your hearts and allow him to remove any kind of callousness that has taken form there so that you can encounter the voice of the one who loves you. In Jesus' mighty name. As we go into this week of prayer, and for those who are fasting, whatever fasting looks like for you, write down the things that God is saying to you and start there.